Well, the Democrats are being called godless, and people have spoken of how they booed God at the convention. Does that make the Republicans the party of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, we are going to have a special broadcast today. I believe your heart, mind, lives will be expanded, edified, challenged. But I want to tell you up front, this is not going to be a partisan political show. I want to make that very clear. We are gospel-based, kingdom-based, scripture-based, and based on that, we look at politics, we look at the world, we look at society. But for those of you wanting me to bash one party or lift up another party, that's not going to happen. But we're going to talk about some important things about politics, about culture, and more. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Here's the number to call to get in on the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and then just click on the Line of Fire. Okay, before I get into any of this, before I talk about another important subject, the slippery slope that our society is on, going down rapidly. Before I talk about that, before I talk about Republicans and Democrats, just want to tell you what I did this morning. And feel free, if you want to weigh in, if the Democrats, are they the godless party? They're booing God and taking God and godly values out of their platform. Or the Republicans, the godly party, the party of God? Do we make a mistake when we think like that? 866-34-TRUTH. Feel free to join in the conversation, and I will be getting to calls in a little while. But this morning, I finally went to the Billy Graham Library. It's a tour. Everything is fashioned after a barn because Billy Graham grew up as a farm boy. Of course, no one would have dreamed that he'd have the world influence that he had and take the gospel to the ends of the earth and be a friend to presidents and have the influence that he had. I was having lunch today with some of the gentlemen involved with the ministry there, and they suggested I get there early and someone would give me a personal tour. So, of course, there are segments you go through, there are stages you go through. It's right here in Charlotte, and it's been here for several years. We've been in Charlotte since 2003. The library's been here for a number of years, and I've never gone. Many of my friends have gone. Before I did a debate with Rabbi Shmuley, he came in and asked if he could. The fellow had picked him up from the airport from our ministry. He said, "Hey, can I go see the library? I've always been inspired by Billy Graham." So people have gone through it. I just never gone through it. And I had the privilege of having a personal tour where, along with the stages where you sit and listen and watch different things, I was shown, look at this, and here's background on this, and how, you know, more information. But I tell you, I was moved. I was moved by a sense of destiny. I was moved by a sense of the power of the gospel. I was moved by a sense of what God can do through a yielded vessel. And listening to snippet after snippet with Billy Graham preaching, or clips with him on TV with secular people from Johnny Carson to Woody Allen. And it was always unapologetically, unashamedly about Jesus and the truth of Scripture. I tell you, I was moved, I was stirred, I was freshly inspired, more so than I expected to be, although I'd heard positive things from many, many others. So I know this first hour does not air live in Charlotte except online. The folks in greater Charlotte and all over North Carolina get my second hour, just as many of you get my first hour. So I'll repeat this briefly for our friends in Charlotte, encouraging them, hey, you're right here. If you haven't gone through the library, do it. But if you're ever coming through Charlotte, make it part of what you do, and you'll be inspired by what happens when Jesus is exalted in someone's life and that person lets God take control. All right, a bunch of important issues to talk through today on this Wednesday as we focus on the world, moral and cultural issues right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I wrote an article, came out on Town Hall yesterday, and it's gotten a lot of responses. Different people have put it on their Facebook page. Some ministries have sent it out because of the importance of the subject matter. It is very sensitive. If you've got little ones around right now, you don't want them to hear this next second here, all right, this next couple of seconds when I give the title. It's all right, so just give you that little warning. Count down 3, 2, 1. The title of the article is Here Comes Incest, Just as Predicted. I want to talk to you in a moment about the nature of the slippery slope, Ron, and why it's so critically important for us as believers to understand the times, to understand what is happening right now in our society, and to understand the importance not of us attacking and condemning sinners, but of awakening to righteousness ourselves and being voices of righteousness to the society. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I will share more of this with you in a few minutes, and then I'll give you a heads up again. I will not say anything that would be inappropriate for believers to hear, but just if you've got a little one listening and they say, Mommy, or Daddy, what's that? What's he talking about? Obviously, that's not appropriate to be explaining to little children. So we'll give you a heads up on that, but it's important. This is in the news. This is in the media, and we need to discuss these things. Okay, before I get to that, I've read some articles recently or seen some headlines. One of my friends wrote an article about the godless Democrats, Matt Barber. Dennis Prager, of course, well known on many of these same stations or related Salem stations across America and other stations, syndicated radio host Dennis Prager, a Jewish man, great thinker, commentator. He's talking about the most important moment at either convention was when the Democratic delegates booed the inclusion of God in the platform, and of course booed the recognition of Israel as Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Others have written about this. I just noticed a headline with Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council. Tony Perkins slams DNC for booing God. I recall in history where there was someone else who denied God three times. He finds the Democratic platform troubling. The Democratic platform is for unlimited taxpayer-funded abortion. He said they want other Americans to be forced to pay to end human life. Here's my question for you. On many, many important issues, issues having to do with protection of life, the unborn, issues having to do with sexual morality and the meaning of marriage, issues even having to do with First Amendment liberty, responsibility, issues having to do with Israel and the Jewish people. And even for whatever this is worth, whether this is purely symbolic or whether this has substance, the Democratic Party platform uses the word God once. Of course, that was added in. The Republican Party platform uses the word God 12 times. There is a voter's guide to Democratic and Republican platforms put out by Liberty Council, so lcaction.org, you can get it. And it doesn't endorse a candidate. It just goes through where they stand on different issues, abortion and human life, family values, First Amendment liberty and responsibility, Obamacare, gun rights, fiscal reform, Israel as an ally, government oversight. You just flip to this last page. Judiciary, and then it compares the use of God on the platform. Well, on many essential issues, say abortion, which is so critically important in terms of the overall valuation of life in society, so critically important because of the sanctity of the innocent and the unborn, so critically important because of all the implications and what comes out of that, it's striking that the Democratic platform is overwhelmingly pro-abortion. I mean, I think even some liberal Democrats might have been surprised at how slanted the convention was towards radical pro-abortion speakers. And the Democratic platform is completely for abortion without exception. Doesn't even mention we're against partial birth abortion. It doesn't even mention we're against if a baby, there's an attempt to abort a baby and the baby's actually delivered alive, that we want to protect that baby. It's not even mentioned. And what is mentioned is taxpayer-subsidized or funded abortion on demand. On the flip side, the Republican platform is totally pro-life in this regard, completely pro-life in this regard. If I'm correct, if I have the info correctly in front of me, it doesn't even mention exceptions, say, for rape or incest, just saying that if there has been a crime committed, a horrible thing of an incestuous relationship or a rape that's produced a child, that you don't kill the child. You don't kill another victim in the midst of this, although you've got to have tremendous compassion for all the victims, for the mothers. And I mean, who can imagine the trauma? Well, a dear friend, one of the finest evangelists I've ever worked with, the finest evangelist I've ever known in America, his wife, tremendous godly woman, equally committed to evangelism with her husband, she was the product of rape. And here they are being used in effective ministry for many, many years. So you contrast these, you contrast them on the issues of, say, even First Amendment liberty, responsibility. The Democrats do not oppose the fairness doctrine, so-called fairness doctrine, which could theoretically, if I'm broadcasting here, now require someone from the other side to come on and give their position, require that on any of these issues that are raised. And that's because conservative radio has been so much more powerful than liberal radio, just like mainstream media has been much more liberal influence than conservative influence. So the Democratic Party does not oppose the fairness doctrine that the Republican Party does. Obamacare does not the section under Obamacare, it does not mention the protection of conscience, supports protection of individual conscience in healthcare. It doesn't mention that. The Republican Party says yes. Under Obamacare, we have to oppose the removal of individual conscience and so on. Family values, the Democratic platform does not support the constitutional amendment that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. The Republican Party platform does, goes on and on. I mean, on issues that are of tremendous importance to me, more important than the economy, more important than national security, because I believe if we are right with God in these ways, that he will honor us in our weakness and help us to get back on the right track in these other areas. The Republican platform is radically more in line with what I clearly see as biblical values. I'm not saying conservative political values. I'm saying biblical values, which then inform what I believe is best in terms of how I live. Just like you may be informed by your own personal background, you may be informed by being an atheist or by being a Wiccan or by being a radical Muslim. You may be informed by being a liberal Christian. I can be informed by being a conservative follower of Jesus. We're all informed, then we go and vote. That's how it works. And then we seek to influence society with our values. But when I look at this, I overwhelmingly see that the Republican Party platform on many key issues, the issues of greatest importance to me, the Republican Party platform is in the right direction and the Democratic platform is in the wrong direction, quite radically so. That being said, we make a big mistake if we begin to look at the Republicans as the party of God. If we begin to look at the Republicans as God's party. Now, let me be clear. I'm leaning towards voting for Mr. Romney. I cannot vote for Mr. Obama. Leaning towards voting for Mr. Romney, but I'm still undecided. I've said the election was today. I'm undecided. But where I'm voting, where I would vote in other ways, I would be voting solidly in favor of any people who would be clearly holding up this platform, the Republican platform. So I'd be voting primarily Republican. And with local elections, if I knew the people were holding to this, they're Republicans, that's where I'd be voting. I'm not registered either way, Republican or Democrat. But I just want to say that as much as I am grieved over the direction that the Democrats are taking, and they continue to be less and less and less and less sympathetic with Israel, pro-Israel. Polls indicate that. In fact, let me just see if I have this one in front of me. I'll find it. Some really interesting results in terms of where polling is going and how there's a steady decline in support for Israel in the Democratic Party. As much as we have to remember that there are some godly Democrats out there, we also need to remember that the Republican Party has more than its share of compromise, and corruption, cronyism. And if we're going to say we put our trust in that party or that man, we make another big mistake. Neither party is God's party, even though I greatly side with the conservative values expressed.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question for you. You got your thinking hats on. Do you? All right, you ready for this question? Ready for this question? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you noticed that churches that stand, say, on a replacement theology, anti-Israel stance, not just that they have a theology that doesn't really understand or recognize Israel, but they are very strongly anti-Israel. We've got to pull our funds out of Israel. We've got to divest our funds from there. Israel is the monster in the Middle East, and the Palestinians are just the victims, and Israel is the evil presence there. Have you ever noticed that those churches invariably, every time I've ever looked into it, invariably are also pro-abortion and want to redefine marriage as well? Have you ever noticed that? It's a threefold cord. When I run into a church that's strong support, standing in strong support of same-sex so-called marriage, they want to redefine marriage. Almost invariably, when I probe a little further, and they're doing this as church groups, when I probe a little further, they are also pro-abortion, and they are also anti-Israel, or have an ugly blind spot towards Israel. Now, please understand me. There are some of you listening who believe the church has replaced Israel, and God doesn't have remaining promises to national Israel, but you are not anti-Israel or in this class, and you hold to the same conservative biblical values that I do. But why is that? I mean, you can almost always find that same threefold cord, anti-Israel, pro-abortion, pro-same-sex marriage. And you find it with institutions as well. You find it with secular companies. You find it now contrasting the Republicans with the Democrats. Of course, the Democrats are most radically pro-abortion. And then secondly, strong for redefining society based on gay activism. And third, getting weaker and weaker with commitment to Israel. Why do you think that is? Well, I mean, it's not like there's a direct connection between each of them. I mean, theoretically, you can say, well, I'm pro-life. I care about babies in the womb. And I believe that Israel is entitled to the land based on biblical prophecy. Or simply, hey, they're a democratic ally in the Middle East, and they've been through a lot, and it's after the Holocaust, and why can't they have their own land? And yet say, but, you know, I think we've misinterpreted the Bible when it comes to homosexual issues, and I think we need to reconsider whether a man can marry a man or something like that. I mean, why is it that the three are so inextricably related? And I see it over and over. Have you noticed the same thing? Have you seen the same thing? If so, why? Why is it? Now, there may be, I have some simple answers in my mind, and I have some deeper answers, but I'm wondering what you're thinking. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to discuss that and think that through with you today on the Line of Fire. Okay, before I go on with that and before we get to your calls, and by the way, I always want to encourage folks, some people have a lot to say and I have to jump in and say, hey, I'd love to let you talk longer, but we got a ton of calls to get to and a lot of material to cover. Others of you are a little bit more shy about things. Hey, we're just having a conversation. It's just two of us. Forget how many people are listening. It's just the two of us. You may have an idea. You may not be able to quote 30 scriptures to support your view. That's okay. I just want to see, one, have you seen the same tendency? Have you watched it? Because I'm so struck by it. And number two, why does it exist? 866-348-7884. Okay. Again, got little ones around. I'm just going to start reading the beginning of my article, townhall.com. And I'll share more about this over the next hour and a half. So listen to as much as you can and then catch whatever you miss online later. Here's the article. Again, just listener warning in terms of the subject matter that's coming. Here comes incest, just as predicted. If all human beings should have the right to marry or simply be with the one they love, as proponents of same-sex marriage constantly tell us, then why shouldn't adult incestuous couples enjoy that same right? Hollywood director Nick Cassavetes is the latest to say, why not? And I, for one, am not the least bit surprised. Now, he shared this earlier this week. It's got a movie coming out that features an incestuous adult relationship. And I'll quote him later on. You can read the whole article at Town Hall. It's not on the homepage now, but go to townhall.com and then just search for my name and you'll see it as the lead article. So simply stated, with the public endorsement of same-sex relationships, the endorsement or at least acceptance of consensual adult incestuous relationships is the next step. So consider the following. Already in April 2007, Time magazine featured a major article, 2007, entitled, Should Incest Be Legal? The article noted that critics of the Supreme Court's Lawrence v. Texas ruling in 2003, which struck down Texas's anti-sodomy law, argued that the ruling would lead to attempts to legalize same-sex marriage and polygamy. It turns out, Time noted, that the critics were right, adding that plaintiffs were now, quote, using Lawrence, the Lawrence v. Texas decision, to challenge laws against incest. In December 2010, when Columbia University professor David Epstein was charged with one count of incest because of his three-year consensual affair with his adult daughter, his attorney, Matthew Galuzzo, remarked, it's okay for homosexuals to do whatever they want in their home. How is this so different? We have to figure out why some behavior is tolerated and some is not. Friends, please hear me. Once you say that two adult males have the right to be together and be married, then how can you say it's wrong if those two adult males happen to be blood brothers? And these cases are now being presented to the gay community. And someone said, that's just wrong. I said, well, based on what? I said, what you're doing is wrong. Why are you saying that's wrong? Based on what? And then some are saying, and I've got some shocking quotes to read to you. Some are saying, well, yeah, we can't say that's wrong. If we want to be accepted, how can we say that's wrong? Of course there's a slippery slope. Of course, if you tamper with marriage the way God intended it and the way our human society is founded and grounded, of course there will be consequences. Okay, let me give you good news. Jesus is the Savior who saves the worst of sinners. And one of the most notorious sinners in my lifetime was David Berkowitz, who was the son of Sam, serial killer. He was a Satanist. Terrorized New York City in around 76, 77. Radically saved in jail, where he'll spend the rest of his life wishing he could give his life to bring back those he took. But a transformed man. We have a DVD from Son of Sam to Son of Hope. David was in the news again recently, and I thought, let's get this out. I don't think I've ever shared it as a resource on the air. We've reduced the price to $10, and we're paying the postage. Everyone get a copy for yourself. Get extra copies for your friends. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. Hey, there's turmoil in the world. Jesus remains our solid rock and the only true answer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. I think I'm going to write an article, finish it. I started the other day. I think I'm going to write it and get out next day or two. Is the Republican Party the party of God? My reason for writing it is to say, yes, there's a stark contrast between the Democratic platform and the Republican platform. And yes, I believe in many ways there is a God-rejecting aspect that runs through the Democratic platform. I can't say every part of it, but much of it, and the issues most important to me, without question. But let's remember that as much as the Republicans may have a platform that on the key issues is infinitely better than the Democratic, when we somehow infuse them with divine authority or think if we can get the Republicans in, then we have God's kingdom coming in power, that's when we make a big mistake. So let's vote in an informed way. I could not vote for candidates supporting the Democratic platform under any circumstances. There's no possible way in conscience before God I could even consider it for a split second. And the Republicans supporting the Republican platform, I could vote for in a heartbeat if I knew they were true and sincere about it. In a heartbeat. However, they are just political parties. They are not the kingdom of God. They are just political parties. And what we need is the church to rise up. And some of them are strong believers. And yes, they're believing Democrats. I would say it would be more of a minority. But yes, there are believing Democrats. But the fact is, the answer is not going to be in a political party or an individual. The answer is going to be in the gospel, awakening in our own hearts, and then us reaching out and touching those who don't know the Lord and their lives being changed. That's how America is going to awaken. But my question, before I come back to more on the disturbing slippery slope that we're on, my question is this. Why this constant connection? When you see pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-biblical family values, or anti-Israel, pro-abortion, pro-redefining marriage. Why is this often such a threefold cord? 866-34-TRUTH. Douglas in Waltham, Massachusetts, you're up first. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I was just calling to agree with your sentiments as far as I believe that once you compromise a little bit of the Word of God, you're open to much more compromise and deception from the devil. And actually went to a church that compromised on gay marriage and homosexuality, and I think they had a leaning towards being, you know, either middle ground or anti-Israel. They didn't really spell it out, but they definitely never heard them say, you know, we're pro-Israel and stuff like that from the pulpit. So I just want to agree with you.
You've seen the same thing. So where... Do you think that the compromise begins just with our view of Scripture, or does it begin with a moral compromise and then, or, you know, hard to say where it starts from what you've observed?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, but I think basically starts in spiritual deception as far as questioning, the, you know, God's word at all, you know what I mean? Like trying mm-hmm. to, you know, be reluctant to combat the stance of culture in our society, you know, I mean, and it's a difficult stand. It's, you know, it's uncomfortable, as you know, but I think, you know, once you start to entertain the thought that God's word might be wrong in terms of marriage or abortion or Israel, then, you know, it's just, you go down a path and it's really, you know, it's really tough to get back. Well, anyway, you can get any time, but it's just, you know, you're entertaining, you know, deception right. from the devil, you know?
Right. You know, and I mentioned it at the... I mentioned at the beginning of the program that I went to the Billy Graham Library. While at the Billy Graham Library, there was a key time in his life before God really raised him up on a much larger national level. And he was challenged by a friend about the authority of Scripture. And he made a commitment, no matter what, I'm going to trust the Word. I'm going to give you what God's Word says. That has made all the difference. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I do want to talk a little bit more about the slippery slope that we're in, the situation that we're in today with continued moral deterioration, where you open the door one way and inevitably has to lead to the door being opened in another way. I'll share a bit more with you about that, but I want to press this subject, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to press this subject a little further. My question, why is it that you'll see a church and they say, you know, we support redefining marriage, we support same-sex so-called marriage, and then you also find that they're pro-abortion, and then you also find that they're anti-Israel? And I mean, I've found it so many different times. And then, of course, you see this so dramatically with the direction of the Democratic Party weakening in its stance pro-Israel, strengthening in its stance pro-abortion, strengthening in its stance redefining marriage. Why does it work like that? 866-34-TRUTH. Anne in Montclair, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
I'm so glad to be talking with you. I believe that the Democrats are reflecting not only the Democratic Party, but a national view of the same kind of people who think that way, and also people around the world who think this way about aborting babies, too many people in the world, Jews should not be supported. And I believe that all of this is a disregard for all life, and it's a prelude kind of thinking that led to Nazi Germany being, you know, what it was, and the war, communism, and the annihilation of people. I believe that we are on that slippery slope to world disaster, and we're heading right for, in this end time, the tribulation. That's what I believe.
All right, so these are all related signs,
yes,
of moral and spiritual deterioration, and
yes,
we can
God
learn
rejecting,
from
ideas.
Got
that
it.
Are
okay.
Leading to ultimately either you're for or against these principles that the Democrats are talking about, but also there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a conflict. I believe that.
What kind of conflict?
I believe that at one point they will come against Israel, which is what Iran is planning. I believe that it could ultimately lead to the Muslims wanting to also overcome the world, be part of this world.
I got it. So in other words, right, there are others... Right, there are others. Yeah, sorry just to jump in. I want to get to some other callers too. But in other words, there are a lot of ideologies, whether it's Islam's rejection of Jesus in the scriptures, Jesus, the only savior in the scriptures, whether it is a radical pro-abortion lobby, whether it's some other ideology that they have in common, rejection of certain fundamental biblical truths, values, and a certain steam for life, as you're putting. Hey, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Francine in Boston. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
There's a case here where a guy had got a sex change, and the judge awarded him the right to get a sex change. He's doing life in prison for killing his wife, and they're going to make the taxpayers pay for his sex change.
Right.
And my problem with that, I mean, you can do what you want to do, okay? But my problem is, why are they forcing us civilized Americans to try to accept crazy things that politicians are deciding for the nation? All these judges' decisions, I mean, it's just crazy. But why are they forcing us civilized people to conform and try to accept these things? I don't get it.
Here's the problem, Francine. I absolutely want to have compassion on any human being who is confused and struggling. At the same time, I am not going to restructure society based on that. Let's put this man aside who murdered his wife and now wants to have sex change surgery to, quote, become a woman. Let's put that aside. And the outrage that it would be on a taxpayer's dollar. And we'll see where that ultimately plays out because it is creating quite an outrage. But let's just say you've got a woman. She's 30. She's always felt like she was a boy trapped in a girl's body. She's uncomfortable going into the ladies' room, so we should now make an exception that she can dress like a man and go to the men's room. No, I care about the person. I'm disturbed for them, and I know the greatest answer is for God to help them from the inside out, because he made them a certain way, to help them from the inside out. But the idea that we're supposed to change society now. I had a guy call in a secular radio show. I was doing an interview on Francine, and he said, well, what about the rights of the transgender person? I said, well, what about the rights of the woman to use the woman's room and the man to use the men's room? I'm not despising that this person has to struggle, and I hope the church can help people who are struggling like that. But the fact is we don't change society or, you know, even when we're looking at the idea of taxpayer-funded abortions, on what basis should we be paying for someone's abortion, especially with the great majority of abortions just being matters of choice and convenience? You know, Francine, I think the reason things are happening like this is because we've let them. In other words, we, for too long, so many of us just kind of live our own lives without recognizing, okay, we need to be praying more urgently. We need to be sharing the gospel more boldly. We need to be standing there for what's right.
People. I mean, you know, I pray for these people. I pray for society. I pray for, for our president, that he gets some kind of, you know, touch from the Lord or something.
Yes.
I pray that hearts are touched, but people are just so bombarded with all these other rights. I mean, because I've been reading your book, Weird Things Happen in America, something
like
that.
Yeah, A Queer Thing Happened to America, got it.
Yes, and it's just so how ironic how it's affecting our kids, you know, my son, you know, generations to come. It's just sad. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I know we're not fighting a losing battle because I know God can do anything, but it's just society. It's just crazy. Every time I turn around, they're coming up with something else that doesn't make sense. That's contrary to the Bible principle.
Yeah, Francine, you're absolutely right. And again, a lot of the moral, spiritual void in the society is because of the failure of the church to stand up and do what's right. No, we're not damning everyone to hell or condemning people. We're saying there's a better way. And Francine, the best thing you can do is keep praying. Pray that you'll have God's heart. Pray that God would intervene. That people having true life-changing encounters with Jesus is ultimately the only hope of America. Thank you for calling 866-34-TRUTH. Lee, also in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I have a couple of comments to make.
Please.
One is whether or not I'm having an issue of whether or not I'm going to vote. I am a Democrat. I cannot vote for Romney. I feel like the Republican Party is not as righteous as a lot of people feel. I feel like they're ruthless, and I feel like they're extremely selfish. But I don't know that I can vote for a Democrat this year. I'm struggling with it because I'm a Christian. And I decided that my Christianity has to stand for something. And as much as I would hate not to vote for President Obama because I am African-American, I find that my Christianity has to stand for something. And if I can't vote for President Obama and the Democratic Party, and I won't vote for Romney, I decided that if I made this stand, and I'm not quite sure yet that I'm going to do it, that I have to leave it in God's hand what the outcome of it will be.
Yeah, you know, Lee, many people on both sides of the issue feel that way. Every believer that I know, where I've ever talked about this, because we don't normally talk politics, but every believer I've talked with cannot vote for Mr. Obama. If abortion was the only thing, and he's so radically pro-abortion, that would be enough. There are other issues, the same-sex marriage thing, there are other things.
But my I can't vote for a Republican. I can't vote. I won't vote for a Republican, but I can't vote, I don't think, for a Democrat.
Got it, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, the friends I have, some are going to vote for Romney and some feel they can't vote for either candidate and will just vote for local elections and other things like that. The bottom line is, though, this is a reminder to us that we cannot put our trust in either party or the White House in terms of moral and cultural transformation. That can only come as Jesus is working through the church. I'd encourage you, Lee, to step back, try to find out more what you can about candidates. Some people will be surprised to find out there's some godly Democrats out there. Others will be surprised to find out there's some godly Republicans. But you're not the only one that may end up sitting out the presidential election. I've spoken to many just like that already. All right, God bless you. Thank you, Lee.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. I had wanted to talk a bit more about slippery slope issues. The phone lines are completely lit up, so I'm going to stay with you to get as many calls as I can, 866-34-TRUTH. But let me just read this to you, okay, in case you didn't hear it. Film director Nick Cassavetes, I quote him in my article, listener discretion advised, if you've got little kids around, take a couple seconds, this is not for them. Here comes incest, just as predicted. My article's on townhall.com, just search for my name there, and it'll come right up. Hollywood director Nick Cassavetes, who has a film coming up that has an incestuous theme, adult relationship. He said, I'm not saying this is an absolute, but in a way, if you're not having kids, who gives a darn? Love who you want. Isn't that what we say? Gay marriage, love who you want. If it's your brother or sister, it's super weird. But if you look at it, you're not hurting anybody except every single person who freaks out because you're in love with one another. Hey, why not? Yeah, it's just love. And he says, we had heard a few stories where brothers and sisters were completely, absolutely in love with one another. You know what? This whole movie is about judgment and lack of it and doing what you want. Yeah, if you can't judge two men who want to be married, or two women who want to be married, why should you judge two brothers who want to be? You know, there's, I'll just say it. It's a grandmother in her 70s, met her grandson in his 20s. They'd been separated. They met, fell in love in England, and have a child or had a child with a surrogate mother. Oh, yeah. Yes, on planet Earth, this has happened. God help us. 866-34-TRUTH. Luciano in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, no, about going back just a little bit, when I first tuned in, you were talking about as far as your own opinion about, you know, you being an undecided between both parties. And I am...
saying under no possible circumstances could I vote for the Democratic candidate. I have questions in terms of Mr. Romney being true to these conservative moral values. But, okay, back to you.
Yeah, no, because what happened is, you know, and I was having a conversation about this yesterday. To me, it goes to, first of all, it's my core beliefs, what the Bible teaches me, what I have learned, you know, through the Holy Scriptures. And, you know, and those core beliefs to me is it's some of those that you have mentioned. One of them is I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with same-sex marriage, you know. And these to me have a tremendous value in my life because, you know, between the two now, I know that the Democratic Party or the president right now, he's in favor of all that. So there's no way, you know, there's no way that I could vote for him. Now, on the other hand, again, if I had to be picky about, Mitt Romney, it will, you know, then it will be more like because of religious thing, because of he's not a...
The question about him being a Mormon. Yeah, and just to jump in, again, you know, the phenomenon that I've been talking about, though, that you see over and over and over again, is this phenomenon that when a church, an institution, a business, an individual, political party is strongly pro-abortion. They're also strongly pro-same-sex marriage, and they're weak on Israel. And then you flip it over to the other side. It's interesting to watch that unfold. And we'll be talking another time, thanks for the call, Luciana, about whether a Christian can vote for a Mormon. We'll talk about it. We're again, my goal is not to support a party or a candidate. My goal is to have kingdom discussion about these issues. Tanya in Queens, we're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I, you know, have been, like everybody else, watching the news and worrying. But I would say in the last month, God has given me such a peace. And I don't mean to sound, you know, different from, but listening to Lee before, over and over again, I keep hearing the same concerns. You know, people, there's some really honest, loving Christians that not only, you know, love God, but with their life obey what Jesus stands for. And yet they struggle so much with the idea of, you know, voting for Republicans. So I kind of like thought about that a lot, you know, and I love the idea of being a radical Christian. In other words, radicalism, meaning what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What does Jesus say? And I come to the conclusion that the Republican Party has, you know, the platform, especially now, the lines are so clearly defined, you know, marriage between one man, one woman, sanctity of human life, wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful God, you know, fearing things. And yet, I think that greed and materialism and millionaires and really people have a heart, the poor, okay? They don't want to really vote for Obama. They don't, they're not in line with what Obama has the audacity to do, the stance that he is clearly making against Israel. You know, I have a Jewish father and a Gentile mother,
Hang on. I just got to jump in. I apologize because you were really on a roll there. But such are the limitations of a radio broadcast where we have a hard break right here that we're about to come to, and our listeners across the country in different cities will be losing us. So we'll have to continue the conversation. I know there's more you wanted to say, so I apologize for jumping in. But I want to encourage everyone, don't see Republican, don't see Democrat. Ask God, which is the way of righteousness? Ask God what reflects his heart and what in reflecting his heart will be in the best interest of our country. And then recognize that the elections, as important as they are less important than the state of the body and our relationship with God. Hey, thank you for the call. Everybody on hold, stay right there because this conversation is continuing into the next hour. If you'd like to call now so you can be sure of getting a place in the next hour, call 866-34-TRUTH. All right, have you ordered your copy yet of From Son of Sam to Son of Hope? An absolutely amazing testimony our ministry put out of David Berkowitz, who was the notorious Son of Sam serial killer, a Satanist, who in prison gloriously meets Jesus and is transformed. Yes, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. And in fact, the letters he's written to the governor of New York and others about parole, like, I do not deserve to be paroled. I deserve to spend the rest of my life behind bars because of the crimes I committed. But this testimony will inspire you and bless you. We've reduced the price and we're paying the postage. It's $10, postage paid. But call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Order your copy of From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, or go online, askdrbrown.org. It's right in our online bookstore. Just go to askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore, or call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there is a strong threefold cord, pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-family values. To me, it's because all three are biblically based.
Well, the Democrats are being called godless, and people have spoken of how they booed God at the convention. Does that make the Republicans the party of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, we're going to talk about party platforms and things like that, but not from a pro-Republican or pro-Democrat viewpoint. We're going to have some kingdom observations. An interesting question I want to put to you that's got some interesting responses in the first hour. And some disturbing news on the slippery moral slope. It's Wednesday. We focus on moral and cultural issues. On the world, Wednesday is the world, as we bring the truth of the gospel to the world on Wednesdays here on The Line of Fire. A lot I wanted to get to in the last hour, didn't get to it, which means that there's even more to share with you the second hour. But before I get into any of that, and before I go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, I want to share again, talked about this an hour ago, but it's much more relevant for many of you listening, especially all over North Carolina in the greater Charlotte area. I went this morning to the Billy Graham Library. Now, it's been open here for years. I've had friends and family go there. Somehow I never got there myself. Everyone that went was moved and blessed by it, but somehow I hadn't gotten there myself. I was having lunch with some gentlemen that work in the organization, their Billy Graham's organization, and they had someone that was going to give me a personal tour. So to supplement the tour everyone gets with further personal information. And if you've never been, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, take time to go to the library, and you'll sit, you'll watch different film clips, you'll see things over the years. I was just so moved and stirred, and I was reminded of the testimony that Dr. Graham's had and the impact that his life has had preaching the gospel, lifting up Jesus. And there's one room where you're in, and you get to see some of his appearances on different TV shows over the years. And I said to the gentleman who was giving me the tour, I said, you know, I remember when he was on the Johnny Carson show. If I recall, Nancy and I were watching that together. And he said, oh, yeah, that segment's going to be on. Well, it was related. It was the same show. It was that same show. It wasn't the exact quote I remember. That, I think, had come right before the segment I saw. But Billy Graham was talking about the Ten Commandments. And as he's talking about the Ten Commandments, Johnny Carson, as I remember, said, you know, I'm ashamed to say I can't even quote to you all the Ten Commandments. And Billy Graham said to him, yes, but you've broken them all. I was just reminded by the fact that it was always about Jesus. He would be gracious towards people if they had been helping with charity or things like that. He would commend them. But he was not on there as a politician. He was on there as an evangelist. He was going to talk about what God's word said. He was being challenged. I think Phil Donahue was challenging him on something. He said, Phil, I'm only telling you what the Bible says. You know, you're trying to work it out in your own mind and you're trying to rationalize it. It'll never work. And so unashamed of Jesus. So if you haven't been to the library, be sure to go and do that. All right? 866-34-TRUTH. So here's my question for you. Here's my question. Why is it that you so commonly see if a church, a political party, a company, they have certain stands they take, moral, social stands. Why is it that if you find some church and they're really strongly pro-abortion, they'll also be pro-redefining marriage, pro so-called same-sex marriage, and they'll also be anti-Israel. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at that and seen it, and of course, you see it increasingly in the Democratic platform. Why that threefold cord? Why do you think if you're weak in one area, you're weak in the other? If you're strong in one area, you're strong in the other? We'll talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH and a whole lot more.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, I encourage you to feel free to differ with me. I encourage you to feel free with things that I have to say that you want to take issue with. I am not registered with either party. I'm an independent voter. I have voted largely Republican in recent elections over moral issues. I could not possibly vote for Mr. Obama under any circumstances. I would probably vote for Mr. Romney, but I have questions. However, when you compare the Republican platform to the Democratic platform, you see stark contrasts having to do with pro-life issues. I mean, stark, unbelievably stark. Very stark contrast when it has to do with gay activism and redefining marriage. And stark contrast when you read through the overall support for Israel in one versus the other. That being said, if people speak of the godless Democrats or the Democratic Convention, quote, booing God, let's not make the Republicans the party of God, because in each party you have the political establishment. In each party you have people who are more politicians than righteousness advocates. And therefore, even though I absolutely am overwhelmingly for the Republican platform versus Democrat in terms of key moral issues in my book, the things that are most important that determine how I vote, I'm not making them into the party of God, God's party, as if we get them in, then we'll have righteousness in the nation. Look, I will not vote for, cannot vote for, a candidate who has blood on their hands in terms of supporting abortion. Mr. Obama's been the most radical pro-abortion president we've ever had. He was the most radical pro-abortion candidate to make it as far as he made, so that no surprise when he became president. Many have criticized Mitt Romney's views on abortion when he was in Massachusetts, but some say, no, he really embraced a pro-life stance, and he's had that for years now, and he endorses the platform. Others say, well, he'd rather soften it. God knows. God knows. But this much I know. I put limited trust in the political system, as important as I know it is, because ultimately I know that with multiplied tens of millions of believers in America, the key thing is how we respond, how we live, what we do. So I want your comments, your feedback on these issues here, as well as if you have more insight on why you see this common trend. Anti-Israel, pro-abortion, pro-gay activism versus pro-life, pro-family values, and pro-Israel. Why do you think those three come down on one side or the other? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go right to the phones, beginning with Jeff in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I just wanted to weigh in on your question. That's a very good question, and I believe that it's because these things are at the core of either God's blessings or God's judgment. You know the scriptures, and it says that those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And furthermore, I wish we could call these things for what they are, not dress them up. It's actually child sacrifice and sodomy. And those things, you know, God told Abraham the wickedness had reached all the way up to heaven. And either we're in light or we're in darkness, and there's no gray area. So the things of the light are going to, you know, be in pro-Israel, anti-abortion, and, you know, anti-same-sex marriage are going to be grouped together because these are the things that please God. And if those who wish to oppose God can get us derailed on those subjects and get us to even if we don't agree with them, if they can get it past the laws of the land, then it'll be just like whenever they went into the promised land, they said, walk not in the ordinances of the Amorites. See, they'd already made these things not just acceptable, but laws and had protection. If they can get these things passed under law, and then it's illegal to even be against it vocally.
Yeah, it reminds me, Jeff, of a story that I just saw here on LifeSite News yesterday. Let me find it here. This is in Canada, Cambridge, Ontario. A Church of Christ minister who has been responsible for civic marriage ceremonies at Cambridge City Hall for the past 15 years is facing the axe if she doesn't agree to perform same-sex marriages. She said, "I have nothing against gay people. In fact, a member of my family is gay, but I represent my church, which does not allow same-sex marriage. My church won't allow me to. I haven't had to make that decision." But now she's being told that she's going to have to perform the marriages or be fired. I mean, you are talking about these types of polar conflicts coming. 866-34-TRUTH. Andy in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Just to add to what you were saying, I feel like, you know, a lot of us Christians, we're so focused on the politics of things. And I'm not sure Jesus Christ was really concerned with politics. He came to really give an example to us sinners. And as Christians, we need to continue the job of being Christ in the body, because that's what the world needs to see. I mean, it's clear that all these things are wrong. We don't need to reiterate that it's wrong. It's wrong. But what we need to do, what we need to continue doing, is to show Christ, show the love of Christ, show the compassion of Christ to these people, so that way they can come one day and be an example of Christ.
Got it. Yeah, so the way I would look at it, on the one hand, there is a role, a very important role for politics in our country, and we have to vote with insight, and we have to do what's right in our voting before the Lord. That does play an important role, but the main goal is not to get the right candidate in office. The main goal is for us to exalt Jesus in our own lives, in the church, and in the society. From the Billy Graham Library this morning, he prayed with different presidents. He helped some of the presidents that were struggling in their faith or that didn't know the Lord. But then his power of ministry was that he was non-political. And again, I'm not saying God doesn't call people into politics. I believe he does. And I know some godly people who have been called into politics. But we tend to get so exercised. We tend to put more energy and more heart passion into who gets elected than into whether our neighbors know the Lord or family members know the Lord. And something's just not right about that. Hey, thank you for the call and the reminder. I affirm that. Let me say again, I'm the one that brought up political issues today. I'm the one that's talking with you about these things. And I am not avoiding the subject. It's an important subject. However, it must be put in its proper context. Otherwise, we make a mistake. 866-34-TRUTH. Valerie in Friendswood, Texas. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've really enjoyed your program recently. I'm a new listener. I'm calling today regarding your question about, is the Republican Party the party of God?
Uh-huh.
And I believe, no, I don't think it is the party of God, but I do believe that it's the best we have right now. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Democratic platform, when you look at the fact that we have the most pro-abortion president we've ever had, I'm thinking that as Christians, how can we vote for that? How can we, I don't understand. You know, like the lady just said, we don't need to reiterate things that are wrong. Well, I feel like we do, because so many people obviously don't know that it's wrong.
Mm.
And so I don't think we should just sweep these things under the rug. All of the people that were clapping at the Democratic convention whenever they talked about a woman's right to choose, her reproductive health, they're going to all vote in November. And I think as Christians, if we say, oh, the Republicans, they're not good enough, or Romney's not godly enough, or whatever, I think by staying home and not voting, that you are voting. That's
right. And
that,
you know, Valerie,
opinion.
Yeah, you've expressed things articulately, and thanks for the kind words about the broadcast. On the one hand, sometimes we're preaching to the choir, and our previous caller was right. We don't need to constantly reiterate this is wrong. This is, you know, this party's pro-abortion. Okay, we know that. On the other hand, sometimes it hasn't penetrated. Sometimes we have voting habits. For example, the great majority of the Jewish population votes Democrat. There are a few reasons for it. One is that your typical American Jew is not that religious. As a person that's not that religious, they tend to be more liberal in their morals, and therefore be pro-abortion and same-sex marriage and those kinds of things. But people need to be jarred out of whatever stronghold there is or whatever habit they have, and they have to step back and say, okay, what's right in the sight of God? The key thing is, though, that we don't overdo our devotions. Again, the Republicans as the party of God. No, I believe they're right on many key moral issues now. But to imbue them with divine authority, we make a mistake. Hey, Valerie, thank you for the call. Stay tuned. Stay with us, folks. We're going to get to your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Ricky from Honolulu, stay right there. I'm going to get your call in a little while. Ricky was testifying yesterday to the power of prayer and fasting, had an amazing story of redemption, and we didn't get to it. I said, look, you call back, and I'll get you on. So the phone lines are jammed. I want to get to all of you who are holding. But Ricky, stay there for a little while because it's important as we look at things happening in our society and the corruption and the sin that's in the world and the deterioration that's all around us and the fact that even though, for me, the Republican Party platform is night and day better on the key essential issues, night and day better than the Democratic. I am not putting my trust in the Republican Party. Even if I vote all Republican, I'm not putting my trust in the political party or the political system. Whatever role it has, it has. But the biggest role is going to be us getting hold of God and God working through each of us. 866-34-TRUTH. Nancy in Manhattan, thanks for calling
Hello.
The Line of Fire. Yes, you're
Hello,
on the air.
Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
That's good. I was listening to all the other calls, and the only thing that I have to add to it for the Christians who are sitting on the fence is that if we do what we know is morally correct, that we'll, you know, lift the curses off of this nation, hopefully, and also spread the gospel and do all the things that we're supposed to do. I'm telling you, I think Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck could be in office, and it wouldn't matter.
You know what you're saying is absolutely true. If we could look, I took a little break the other night and I was watching just a few minutes of sports, maybe a half hour, and a commercial came on, a pro Obama commercial blasting Romney and how he's going to do away with Medicare, and then that was followed by a pro Romney commercial blasting Obama and how he's cost North Carolina all these jobs. And so, I mean, it's literally one after the other. I've seen this happen many a time. You think of the amount of money spent. You think of the amount of energy. You think of the constant political comments and discussions and polls, and then even believers get all worked up. If we put that kind of energy towards the work of God and to prayer and to fasting and to standing up for what's right, living in our community, yeah, I think that Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck could actually make an effective president if the church in America awoke. So thank you for the call. And in that sense, you're preaching to the choir. Let me say again, I'm not demeaning the political process. I'm not demeaning the importance of where candidates stand. And I know that there are candidates who stand for righteousness, who by God's grace make a difference. And I know there are candidates who are on the wrong side of issues that are making a difference in the wrong way. But we must hold it in a proper perspective. That's my point. Joe in Tampa, Florida, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Doctor, I know that the kingdom of God, it transcends entities and boundaries. But it's just going to be difficult voting this year. You know, the Country Club Republican Mormon or the liberal socialist Muslim lover. difficult year.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know that I would couch the candidates or the president and Mr. Romney in those exact terms as you did. Obviously, some of it I agree with. But Joe, I think what you have to do is obviously say, who can I not vote for? Right. Start there. Who can I not vote for? And then who can I vote for in good conscience? It may not be a presidential candidate. It may have to be local officials and other things like that. But I'm hearing from more and more people who are in the exact same place. They cannot in conscience vote for Mr. Obama for a host of reasons. I'm on that list, and I say so unashamedly. And if you want to call me anti-Democrat, anti-racist, repent of that because you're just wrong. That ain't the case. However, I have grave questions about Mr. Romney, not primarily because he's a Mormon. Now, we're going to debate that one day. We're going to have a whole debate, and we're going to have people come on and say you can't vote for him because he's a Mormon, and we'll debate that. But I share the ambivalence, and I continue to pray for God's wisdom and to do what is best. Let me grab one more call. Tom in Carroll, Iowa. We're a little short on time, but please go for it, sir.
Yeah, I don't see how I can vote for either one of these two because Mitt Romney went against the Constitution of the state of Massachusetts to start gay marriage, and Barack Obama is just the straight-up anti-God socialist who wants our kids to learn about homosexuality in schools at an early age. So I don't know how I can vote for either one of them.
Yeah, Tom, I understand that. Again, Mr. Obama's views, if I just looked only at abortion, I could not possibly vote for him. If he was the world's greatest economist, if he was the greatest genius for international and national security issues, because he is a radical pro-abortion candidate and president, I could not possibly vote for him. The question, again, with Mr. Romney, for me, is not that he's a Mormon. I don't want to sound like a broken record over this, but I have activist friends in Massachusetts, one of whom wrote a 600-page book called Mitt Romney's Deception, where they say in Massachusetts he was the one who opened the door for same-sex marriage, and he was the one who opened the door for abortion on demand very inexpensively, and they don't take his changes of views now seriously. Now, of course, his supporters have answers for that, but, yeah, there is real ambivalence. Mr. Obama's clear statement that he wants to see marriage redefined and a man should be able to marry a man, woman, a woman. I know many black pastors now, the Coalition of African American Pastors, which represent 3,000-4,000 pastors immediately and then many beyond that, they're saying we cannot vote for him based on these things. He needs to re-evolve his views on marriage. What we have to do, number one, is say, okay, the biggest issue is not who's in the White House, but how are we as God's people relating to the Lord? How are we as disciples following Jesus? What are we doing? And then secondly, where can we vote? There are lots of other votes that can be had for other officials throughout our state and even our county. And then there are other specific issues, platforms that are going to come up, decisions that have to be made where we can vote. But Tom, again, you speak for many others who share these concerns. Let me encourage you to mark this date down. Well, 2 days from today, September 14th, go to the movies. Say we don't normally go. This will be all right to go to. Trust me. Last ounce of courage. You know, watching the movie, part of it doesn't even feel like it's a movie because it's not this high-tech, glitzy, you know, the sky's falling from heaven. It's not the slickest acting. It's regular people. They're professional actors and actresses, but they're regular people. And then even an issue about Christmas and liberties being taken away, it's the kind of thing that a lot of Americans relate to, and it's got a very moving surprise ending with a strong Christian message that just says, hey, I can do something. I have to do something. How can I not do something? That's what the movie's about, and I encourage you to go see it. It comes out this Friday, Last Ounce of Courage. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just 30 seconds ago, 15 seconds ago, posted an article on my radio website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. If you've got a little one around, there's a word that they may ask about that you'd rather not be explaining to them now. So just a warning. Count to five. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. And the little ear is, the article is, Here Comes Incest, Just As Predicted. You want to talk about a shocker. You want to talk about an eye-opening article. I just posted it. It came out on townhall.com yesterday, and I posted it now. So if you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, you can read it. Oh, yes, the slippery slope is continuing, just as predicted. I take no joy in saying it, but may God awaken us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Welcome, friends, to the line of fire. Not that long ago, there were reports of two twins, men, grown men, who were gay porn stars. And lo and behold, people found out they were twins. How can that be? Well, one of them said, my brother is my boyfriend and I'm his boyfriend. It's Wednesday, folks. Wednesday on the Line of Fire, we focus on the world, moral and cultural issues. We're going to expand this to some political talk in a moment from a kingdom perspective. But someone wrote this. When they read this article, they then wrote this. I have total moral and legal integrity here. No sexual act that results from the consent of both parties should be illegal or immoral. These boys apparently consented to do this. There is no possibility of deformed or retarded children. Therefore, it is not a crime or your business. Listen to what some other gay men said in response to these two brothers, I mean, a consensual sexual relationship. As they can't procreate, the main argument against incest is null. They aren't harming each other, society, or anyone in particular, so let them be. Another said, who are you to judge them when they are harming no one? Someone said, if we don't want people calling us gross or sick, meaning homosexuals, when our actions hurt neither us nor people around us, we should refrain from such name-calling ourselves. Another said, why is it vile if you're going to accept the homosexual premise of two guys doing it together? What's wrong with them being brothers? It's really kind of hot when you think of it. Got to keep it in the family. Another, taboos on incest aren't normal. They are indoctrinated and learned. Another, what you feel is your business. If you don't want to participate, then don't. You don't know their circumstances or their DNA. DNA is a compelling motivator. In other words, hey, my genes made me do it. Someone else, it's the way God made them. You say, well, why bring this up? Because Hollywood director Nick Cassavetes, with whom I'm not familiar, but he's well known enough that this is getting broadcast all over the fact that he's coming out with a movie, yet another, with an adult, consensual, incestuous relationship, and he says, hey, well, what's wrong with it? We're all about not judging. And hey, gay marriage, same-sex marriage, if that's okay, why isn't this okay? Just another reminder, and I'm going to leave it here. You can read the article, AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire. I'm just going to leave it there. But friends, we tamper with marriage, we tamper with the foundations of society, and the consequences will be grave. May God awaken us. All right, I've got a question for you. Why is it that those who tend to be strongly pro-life are also strongly pro-family values and not redefining marriage, and also strongly pro-Israel? Why is it you often see those three things together, or the three rejected together? 866-34-TRUTH. We will be back with your calls.
The line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. If you've listened to my show for any length of time, you know that while we will talk politics, I do not identify as either Republican or Democrat. And my primary goal is to get us thinking and living biblically. In that light, yesterday's show was about the power of prayer and fasting. We got a call from Ricky in Honolulu. We ran out of time. And I said, I want to hear the rest of your story. Please, if you can get in today, and thankfully it's a line open and Ricky squeezed his way in there. I asked him to call back so that we could just hear this. He said, but we're talking about slippery slope in the society. We're talking about the differences in platforms between Republicans and Democrats. We're talking about so many of these other issues. Why prayer and fasting? Because it's the reminder of what really matters. It's the reminder of the greatest power we have. The greatest power you have is not in the voting booth, although the voting booth is important. The greatest power you have is alone with God in prayer. So, Ricky, thanks for calling back, and I'm actually eager to hear the rest. So, if I recall, you were in a real crisis in life, find yourself, behind bars, in great need. So tell us what happened and how prayer and fasting turned things around.
State put me away for 5 years. When I went to prison, I never knew God.
Why were you put in prison, Ricky?
I committed several crimes.
Okay, so you were justly sentenced. You had broken the law. You were sentenced to 5 years. You didn't know the Lord, and your past had not been that great in terms of your relationship with your wife and faithfulness. Yep. All right, so I'm on the edge of my seat. What happened?
The state of Hawaii put me away for 5 years. Never knew God when I got into prison. Got down on my knees, gave my life to God, and started praying and fasting. I never knew I was fasting. I never knew what fasting was, but I didn't eat for 2 days. All I ate was candy bars. I was so into the Bible. I prayed that God led me out to see my son graduate. He opened the prison doors. First time in the history of the state of Hawaii that an inmate that was convicted, had already been convicted, was set free. He let me out. All I asked for was for one day, just one day to go home and see my son graduate that Friday night. The judge let me out for 4 days to be with my family. The prison guards were telling me, I've worked here for 20-something years, and I've never, ever seen that happen, they told me. They asked me, who do I know? How did I get out?
Really?
It was truly a miracle.
And Ricky, what happened? You mentioned it yesterday, that God began to speak to you about something that you had to share with your wife?
He made me confess to my wife that I had committed adultery. He said, before I come to the altar in prayer, I got to confess and I got to reconcile with my family. And I reconciled with my immediate family, but my wife, I had an argument with him. I said, there's no way I can do that. I'm going to lose everything if I do it. If I let her know what I have done, I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose everything. And I argued with him for this over a period of time. I gave in, and I made that call to her. And it was after I made that call, he opened the prison doors for me and let me free.
Wow. And how did your wife respond?
She divorced me.
Mm.
She divorced me, and I lost everything like I thought I would.
But you knew you had to do it, though.
But, yeah, I was poor. I was poor in that respect, but I was rich in God, man. He did a miracle in my life, man, where opened the eyes of the prison guards and the warden, even the warden wrote me a letter.
Go ahead.
No, the warden said, I just want to let you know that this is the first time that this has ever happened. Incredible. And he said, when I found out that the judge was letting you go, I didn't like the idea because I didn't think you would turn yourself in, he told me.
Really? And Ricky, how long ago was that?
This was in 2002.
All right, so it's 10 years now you've been following the Lord.
I've been following Christ since. I've been serving God.
Yeah, and it started getting on
your
knees with the Word, fasting from your normal meals, and praying. Yeah, we don't normally do like a fast. We just eat candy bars. But I understand you didn't think about normal meals, anything else. And yeah, there were consequences for sin, but look at how God has worked on your behalf, and look at how He answered prayer. Literally opened prison doors. Ricky, thanks for making the effort to get back through to us today and sharing the rest of the story.
Thank you. God bless you, man. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. You know, look, we've got to remember. Is that unique or what? We've got to remember that the greatest issues we have in our society cannot be solved. Look, I absolutely will not, cannot vote for a pro-abortion candidate, especially a radical pro-abortion candidate. That being said, we had a strong pro-life candidate like Ronald Reagan in office for 8 years, and we're still killing 1.5 million babies a year. Now, I won't vote for a pro-abortion candidate, but let's say we had a strong pro-life candidate. I don't believe we do right now, but let's say we did. Let's say it had been Rick Santorum, a very, very strong pro-life candidate, a stronger pro-life candidate than Mr. Romney. He might be in office, and that still might not change things with abortion on demand being legal. In other words, the battle is deeper than that, and it must be fought on many different levels, but ultimately with prayer and with fasting. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. You just touched on what I wanted to say. We had Reagan in office 8 years, that he had the House many of those years, and he did nothing to stop abortion. The same with Bush. Bush had the presidency for 8 years. 4 years he had the House also, but he did absolutely nothing. So I think that Neil and Boyd's the abortion issue, because when they do have the presidency, they don't do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we can't deny. And isn't it Albert Einstein who said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking it's going to produce different results? So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously for me, I cannot vote for a pro-abortion candidate. But if I think, oh, if I get this guy in the White House, it's going to change everything, it may change almost nothing. It may change a few aspects, you know, of taxpayer-funded abortion or certain extreme things, you know, partial birth abortion, which is major in itself. But aside from Supreme Court ruling, a lot of this could only change on the grassroots level.
Exactly. And so the other, my other
ahead.
Problem is the Social Security issue. Am I going to have to take care of my parents, or are many people going to have to take care of their parents because of this voucher system that he's setting in place, or would like to set if he becomes president?
Yeah, the Romney-Ryan plan. I mean, actually, from everything I can see, Social Security is bankrupt. In other words, both parties need to have a radical solution to change it. I believe that Paul Ryan could give a very strong argument as to why the Obama policy is going to rob you of Medicare. And then there are the attacks on the Romney-Ryan plan as to why that is going to take money out of people's pockets. Here's the bottom line. It's bankrupt. It does not have enough money. It's going to run out shortly. Our kids, as they grow up, even if they work hard, put money away, there's going to be nothing for them. So somebody's going to have to come up with a radical plan, and it should be of concern. But don't get scared into voting one way or the other based on that. I've seen some commercials where, to me, it's just trying to scare the elderly. And the scare should be Social Security is bankrupt. It's running out of money. It does not have enough to support itself. By the way, when we have aborted 40, 50 million Americans, many of whom would have been hardworking people, paying into Social Security, and we have a low birth rate overall, except for immigrants who've been higher, or recent immigrants, it threatens the following generations for sure. Thank you for the call. All right, we're going to take some more calls when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. Have you ordered your copy of From Son of Sam to Son of Hope? Have you ordered that yet? It is an incredibly inspiring DVD, eye-opening, life-changing. about David Berkowitz, who is the notorious Son of Sam serial killer, a Satanist who got radically saved in prison. He was in the news again recently in New York, a wonderful testimony article. I thought, you know, I've got to share this on the air. I haven't done it yet. So we put this out, our own ministry put this out some years ago through a close friend of David's. We've reduced the price to $10 and we're paying the postage so everybody can get it. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order your copy of From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, or go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the online bookstore. AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage, click on the online bookstore. You'll see that special offer, or call 1-800-278-9978. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. The kind of revolution we believe in is not one of violence, not one of hatred, not one of intimidation, not one of anger. It's one that follows the principles of Jesus, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming error with truth, not taking life, but giving life. That's the kind of revolution we need. 866-34-TRUTH. Lewis in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Lewis.
Hey, hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. I looked away from you. Yes, sir. That's Dr. Right. Brown, my question is, I know we have two potential presidential candidates. One says he's a believer with no fruit. We have another one who's a Mormon who has fruit, but his belief in Christ is different from ours. So how can we, as Christians with moral who believe in biblical standards and rule of law, how can, as a Christian, morally vote for either one of them for president?
Well, yes, sir, you have raised the same question that many others have raised, which means it's something that we're thinking about. So I'm actually going to have a colleague on who's a professor, a philosopher, an apologist, who wants to make a case for why Christians can vote for Mitt Romney. Now, I want you to understand why he's on. It's not because I'm endorsing Mr. Romney. I'm wrestling with whether I can vote for him or not, and I'll tell you why in a moment. I can't vote for Mr. Obama because of the moral issues, as I've said many times.
I can't vote for him either. I can't.
Yes. So I'm wrestling with whether I can vote for Mitt Romney. So I'm going to have this gentleman on. He's a solid Christian brother to defend it, but I want everyone to be calling in that day who differs with him. And I'm going to see if I can get someone else who differs with him strongly to debate the issue. So,
can I ask one other quick question about that?
Yeah, and then I'll give you more of an answer, please.
Okay. If the Mormon religion is an occult, if we put a president in office who's a occultist, wouldn't that be just like putting Satan in office of president?
Well, that's another fair question. Mormonism would rightly be called cult versus occult, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, occult
yes,
is sir. Witchcraft. So this is a cult. So it's a false religion in this case.
Exactly. Certain... So, I mean, in any false religion, right, that's of the devil, right? I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's
and
no.
Abortion,
listen.
And homosexuality and not supporting Israel. And neither one of them only supports Israel, but all this other stuff he got going on. And Obama is a liar. And, I mean,
right. Right. So we have an issue. So number one, I have serious questions about whether Mr. Romney is a true moral conservative. In other words, the way he governed in Massachusetts raises questions as to whether he's really pro-life and really pro-family. Now, he's an old friend of Netanyahu, and within Israel, the Israelis really much want to see Romney in versus Obama. But here's the question about a Mormon. We may have had... you know, John F. Kennedy was in, he was a Catholic. I'm not comparing Mormonism to Catholicism, but he was a Catholic, and it didn't push Catholicism forward. Like, he didn't use his election as a platform. But certainly, there'd be an empowerment that comes. In other words, if I was a Mormon, I had a Mormon president, it gives a lot more credibility to my faith. And even if he doesn't say a word about it, it provides a platform. Others would say, well, we're voting for him to be president, not to be pope or bishop or pastor. But I want you to hold on to your question, sir. We'll all continue to wrestle before the Lord about the right way to go. If we can't vote for president, we can vote for other candidates in other offices. But I want to have that interview with a colleague of mine. He proposed it to me, and I said, let's do it. But that whole day, I want everyone to call who feels the way you do, who has grave questions about it, all right? So thank you, sir. We'll stay tuned on that.
I definitely will, because I got a lot of questions. I love Jesus, and I love my fellow man, but at the same time, I believe firmly in biblical standards and the rule of law, and that's the rule of law according to biblical standards. If that law is not compliant with God's word, I mean, I'm like, there's no compromise.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the bottom line is the biggest issue is how you and I live. More important than who's in the White House, how you and I live as followers of Jesus. Thank you, sir, for the call. Ann in Huntersville, North Carolina. We're short on time, but please dive right in.
Hi, this is Ann Ault. And I just wanted to very quickly, Dr. Brown, two quick points. First of all, everybody's saying, you know, that they can't vote for Romney because we are in an imperfect world. The Republicans do stand for what I believe in, despite their imperfections. And to not vote is, in a sense, to vote for Obama. God used the pagan king of Persia to save the Jews with Queen Esther's efforts, you know. And then also one last thing, Jesus, he was politically savvy. He told it like it was when he said in Luke 13, you know, when they said Herod wants to kill you, he said, go tell that fox, you know, Herod, behold, I cast out demons and so on. But so he obviously was aware of what was going on politically. The point is, we are in an imperfect world. This is earth life. Mm-hmm. This isn't heaven yet. We've got to do the best that we can with what we have, as Theodore Roosevelt would say, do the best you can with what you have where you are. And the two choices before us are one where one is a, you know, I mean, they're not good choices, but there's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned in terms of what they stand for.
Right.
And with Obama, what he does speak so loud, I can't hear what he says.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that there are many that their view is any sitting out of a vote is a vote for Mr. Obama. And a second term would be disastrous. Therefore,
I agree.
If it's lesser of two evils.
Think,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think judgment started, frankly. I felt when I first saw Obama, he was charismatic. He was, you know, he the charm, the charisma, the ability to you know, to, he was a good orator. But I just felt, because of what he stood for in the early days even, that judgment was beginning. I do believe if we have four more years, it's going to be bad for America, but I also believe that that even if Romney gets elected, there's been so much division now. I think we're in a silent civil war.
We're in a critical place, and got to run. I'm out of time, but let me say plainly, if Mr. Romney is elected, I am not putting my hope in the White House. I'm not saying, oh, good, we got God's man in there. He's going to change everything. Thank you for calling, which means, I want to speak to all of you, my brothers and sisters, who are part of the body. Whatever our views are, however passionate we get over the election, let us make sure that this does not take our eyes off Jesus, that this does not take our eyes off our own devotion to the Lord, that it does not take our eyes off our responsibility to bring blessing and help to those in need, that it does not take our eyes off on the calling to win the lost, that this does not take our eyes off the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And then let us talk through the issues, because voting is an important right, privilege, stewardship, responsibility that God has given us. However, our greatest responsibility is to be disciples and make disciples, to know God and to make him known. And that brings me to my bottom line today. Visiting the Billy Graham Library this morning, I was reminded again of the power of the gospel. I was reminded again of what God can do through a yielded life. I was reminded again that we must exalt the world and King Jesus.